My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
All right, marketing school listeners, this is a 20 to 30 minute segment of a full interview I've done with an amazing founder, entrepreneur, creative, visionary. You're going to get a ton of insights from this. And if you want to listen to the entire thing, go search for Leveling Up with Eric Sue. That's the entire podcast that you're going to find. So you get 20 to 30 minutes here. And if you want the whole thing, you can just search for Leveling Up with Eric Sue. And without further ado, enjoy the episode.
My content really changed around the pandemic, and I've sort of had different phases of content. When I launched the channel originally, the entire reason I started the YouTube channel was because I was writing a cryptocurrency research newsletter in 2016, and 2017 crushed it. But in December of 2017, Facebook and Google banned all advertising for crypto.
Yep, I remember that.
So now, what am I going to do? And now I had spent 10 years in lead gen. So I was a lead gen. Me and my partner were the largest solar lead generators in the nation at one point. So I'm deep into call centers and data and avatar dialers and, you know, SEO and paid ads, whatever. So I was running this on paid ads. They shut that down and we had no way to sell the product. So my business partner at the time is like, hey, I'll just start a YouTube channel. I'll just do TA, technical analysis live, and we'll sell the product. It was a newsletter product and a trading product.
Got it.
And well, we launched the trading product and it was just like lightning in a bottle. It was right when the advertising shut down. 2017, Bitcoin had gone from 1,000 to 19,000. Yep. And then all that shut down. We launched this trading product in December 2017 with a brand new YouTube channel, no paid ads, and did $1 million in 28 days.
Wow.
Boom. Just captured lightning in a bottle, right? I think we broke the ClickFunnels record at the time. And that was on $0 of ad spend.
Yeah.
So then I started talking about more business and success stuff. Then when the pandemic happened, it went like heavy macro, sort of like macroeconomic and like freedom. Those are sort of like the two things that I kind of talk about there. And the reason why I'm saying this is because a lot of it is like news oriented, it's driven by the news cycle. And so it's not really evergreen.
And just so people get a sense for like how much reach are you getting from the channels per month right now?
For the social channels?
Yeah.
It's just been really the last 6 months we've started to kind of turn attention to Instagram is our main focus on Instagram. I think we're getting 3 or 4 million views a month. My team could tell you better. I think we're probably getting more in the 5 million range, you know, across those platforms.
And then that includes YouTube or?
Oh, no, that's without YouTube. Yeah. YouTube's another, you know, 1.5 million, 2 million views.
And then podcasts?
Podcast is about 500,000, you know, but and I don't know what the reach on the radio is. So I'm in 26 markets, I think. So that's like a weird deal. I don't know how that works.
I would argue like your reach, like,
like the YouTube shirt, it's like less views or whatever, but it's like such higher quality views. And maybe even for podcast too, it's even higher quality.
Yeah. So that's a key piece. I've been binge watching your content. I told you another one of our mutual friends, Blake, that you had on, I met him through Cody a couple years ago. He's Mr. Short Form. And as I was listening to that interview and I was just thinking, I only focused on long form. And I think what I've found is specifically, I try to focus on like high ticket items. And so with high ticket, from the data that I've found, you typically need about an hour and a half with a person before they can buy. While I don't get as many views as Blake gets across social media, the views are so much better, well, quality, right? So on a YouTube video, on a 25 minute video, I'll average 65% retention.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's high.
Well, I was just going to say, so when somebody watches you for 25 minutes and they've been watching 25 minute videos for months or years, I mean, they think they know you. So there's a lot of trust that's built. When you watch hours and hours of content, there's a lot of character that they pick up, a lot of personality. And so you really start to get it versus just a real short form. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a fan of doing short form content. And the reason why is I think it's one of the bigger problems that we have in the world today, where everybody reads headlines and they don't get the context. And today we see so much, you know, black or white. People think very linearly, but everything has nuance. And if you don't pick up the nuance, you're just never going to get it. And I'll do a 20-minute video on like a big subject, like George Gammon. He's one of my good friends. You know, he'll dive deep into like reverse repo.
Yeah.
Well, I'm left watching that going, what does that mean? Yep. Why do I care? So then I'll do a video on like, hey, if you want the technical, go watch George. But let me tell you why you care about this and what it means to you, right? So anyway, I'll take these very complex subjects, make them super easy to understand, and I'll do it in like 20 minutes. And people will be like, dude, it's too long. Make it shorter. I'm like, then just read the headline. So anyway, I'm not a form of short form content because what can I really tell you in 45 seconds?
Plus, I'll be honest, I don't know about you, but like, I don't remember anybody from short form. Anybody, actually. Yeah. There's only one person, actually. Jenny Hoyos.
Yeah. One person.
That's because I watch a 35-minute video of her getting interviewed. That's the only reason I know her.
Yeah. I think it's the way that I'm seeing it and the way that I want to approach it is like top of funnel. All my content is top of funnel, but really the shorts would be super top of funnel. That's how we've been using them on Instagram anyway. And I think I've seen several people like Blake, but even in the crypto space that I know, they really used TikTok to build their YouTube channels. So I think the TikTok, you know, the shorts will be top of funnel for the other type of, for the long form content. And then long form content will still be top of funnel for the products and services.
Yeah. I mean, I think this works out really well. Well, I've done podcasts for years, but I've never chopped them up. Like we're starting like literally last maybe 90 days or so. And I see the flywheel is starting to work really well. And it's just like, oh, okay. Like you roll with whatever organic channel is working well.
Yeah. The problem is because like most of my content, as I was saying, is typically like a 20 minute, 25 minute like thesis. So it's not, I don't think it's super clip worthy. Because like you take a 45-second clip out of a 20-minute like teaching video, you don't really get the whole context of what it is. And that's why, you know, I know, like I listened to your video with Hermosi and he's like, oh, we're just pulling clips now. He doesn't do direct to camera anymore. But I think for what I'm doing, my type of content doesn't really lead to that. And I think that's part of the reason why it hasn't really been growing for us. And so that's where we're thinking about making just specific short form content for that. That's just short sound bites, snippets. And if you want the deeper content, then you come into the long form.
Oh, got it. I like that. It's a preview to your long forms.
Yeah.
Yeah. 65% retention is insane. Like, what have you done to do that?
Good storytelling, right? It's copywriting. So I think it's all about the intro, right? So it's all about the hook. So I do a 3-part hook. And this is just copywriting. Like, who's it for? What's it for? And status change. Right. That's basically what it is. So like the hook is like, you know, the end of the international monetary order is coming. Watch out. So that's like the hook. And then I give the offer, right? So it's like the hook, the offer. And that would be like, as you know, the system's crashing, 3 banks collapsed this year. The banks could bail in your money. So in this video, I'm going to break down the 3 banks that are most dangerous. So then like, I'll kind of give the context and then I'll tell you what's in the video. In this video, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to show you this, this, this. And then the last part is the status change or like the testimonial. Having this information will protect you from whatever, right? So I kind of like, I'll try to get that out in like 60 seconds. So like a really strong hook, the context of what it is, what they're going to receive, and the status change that they'll receive, the benefit.
If they stay till the end.
Staying to the end,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, through good storytelling, they need the journey, right? So it's like, we're going to go over this, we're going to go over this, we're going to go over this, but we're also going to say what you need to watch out for, the danger, this thing that you need to know as well. And then I think just from years of doing it, you know, I think naturally I'll be like, we'll come back to that in a minute. Okay, yep. Hey, we'll talk about that in a minute, and like hooks to the end kind of things like yep. that.
I think it's probably second nature for you now, but that 60 seconds, that hook and then everything you talked about, how long does that typically take you?
To write it out?
Yeah.
So I know a lot of YouTubers, they talk about like creating the package first, right? The package for me consists of a title and like a paragraph. That's like, that would be probably the package for me. I would do the title, the thumbnail, because I usually put like a couple words on the thumbnail. So it'd be a title, thumbnail, and like a paragraph. That's like the package. So I'll start from there. Then I'll build it out to typically 8 bullet points. And then of those 8 bullet points, I try to put 3 to 4 bullet points under each one. So that's like, that's where I start. And then I'll usually build the video out and then go back and write the intro.
You're not just like shooting from the hip. And by the way, there's like so many different ways to do this. Yeah. Like
I want the intro to be good. And so I'm pretty good at shooting off the cuff because I'm doing it for 5 years now. But I find it to be better when I do it. And I don't go back and try to like SEO optimize or do any of that. I don't know how important that is for YouTube anymore. The thing is, for what I'm doing, for the type of content I'm doing, a lot of the learning comes from the research process. So when I sit down to build that video, I'm going to spend 4 or 5 hours on that video. I'm going to start, you know, researching and pulling stuff. And then I'm learning more stuff as I'm going. So that's why I'll go back and do the intro after I've built the video, because like, I'm not exactly sure what the flow is going to be. So then I might end up with 10, 12 bullet points, and then I'll compress it back down. And then, you know, and then I just launch it. I don't know how long it's going to take me.
Yep.
I typically figure I can get through about 8 slides in about 20, 25 minutes, you know?
I think your framework's amazing. Are you doing any crazy stuff?
I use TubeBuddy, and TubeBuddy will allow you to A-B test the thumbnail. The problem with the A-B testing on TubeBuddy is that it's a 24-hour period. And so like typically you come out of the gate pretty hot, and then, and so, you know, we'll look at like the click-through rate. That's kind of one of the big pieces for me, but like, and if it doesn't seem to be taking off good, we'll go back and change a title or a thumbnail. But because the data has like that lag to it, like I haven't found a real good way to do that. I do know one of the big YouTube strategies, and I've seen Russell Brand hiring for this role, but is a YouTube optimizer. And even going back to the back catalog, a year or two old, and changing thumbnails and titles in that. So shout out right now, because I'll throw it out a couple times, but I'm hiring all kinds of people. Yeah. OneMarkMoss.com/jobs. OneMarkMoss.com/jobs. If you want to be a YouTube optimizer, hit me up. So
remote's good.
Remote's good. But back to the content, part of what I want to do for next year is get off the news cycle. It's a hamster wheel. I'm done with the news cycle. I want to go back to more evergreen content.
The news cycle is a hamster wheel. I mean, when you're doing like Ben Shapiro or like even Patrick Bet David, who I love, right? And I think it's just tough because every day it's like, it kind of feels like a job. Yeah.
It's a massive job. It's two things that people probably don't realize. One, I have to be in the news cycle 24/7 because I come on to a couple podcasts a week and I don't know what questions they're going to ask me. So I need to kind of know about everything. Like I need to know what's going on in the oil market. I need to know what's going on with the war in Israel. I need to know what's going on with the Fed meeting last week. I need to know what the CPI data that just came. Like I need to know all that all the time. So there's hours per day of just staying in the news cycle. That's like the treadmill, right? Now, if I'm talking business, marketing, dude, I've been doing this for decades. I could just talk about that all the time. It doesn't really change, right? Mm-hmm. But in that news cycle, you have to be in it. And Patrick McDavid's more like on the politics side, but still you got to know that.
He's reacting,
And then the second part is I've kind of sold my soul for the algorithm, so to speak. And so then what happens is, what should I talk about this week? What's the biggest story? Ooh, I don't like that story. Let me find a bigger story, right? And so it's two part. I mean, dude, I've gone a whole day and then not decided on an idea. Like a whole day, 6 hours goes by, 7 hours, and I'm just like, I still don't know what I want to do for a video.
Yep.
As opposed to, I keep one of the big hacks for me that I learned a long time ago, and it was actually through time management, is just capture every idea. And so I use Evernote on my phone, on my computer, and every idea I just write down. So I have pages of videos I want to do that are evergreen videos, and I just haven't been doing them because I'm always stuck in the news cycle.
Yep.
So anyway, it's a massive time suck. A couple hours a day of just staying in it and then trying to dig out that story as opposed to just doing something that you want.
And then it doesn't let you focus on the business too.
And it also burns you out. I don't want to say I'm doing videos just for views, but I do think about what video will get the most views all the time. It's stuff that I've been paying attention to for over a decade. And even if I wasn't getting paid, I'm still going to put all my time into it anyway. So I might as well talk about it.
So iHeart said this, you can be bigger than Ben Shapiro.
It was actually, well, Joe told me this, but it was Bob Pittman, the CEO is the one that told him that. So Joe was telling Bob, hey, you got to watch this guy, Mark, whatever. And so apparently, I haven't talked to Bob personally, but apparently per Joe, he said, he's like, yeah, Bob started watching stuff. And he's like, dude, this guy could be bigger than Ben Shapiro. He's like, I know, I told you.
Yeah.
So that was like pretty cool validation. I didn't hear it firsthand. I heard it secondhand, but.
Got it. So I guess that's interesting to me because you know who sticks out to me right now? I was talking to George Gammon a couple weeks ago. And so he has his YouTube guy. We're in a Zoom and his YouTube guy's like, yeah, your YouTube sucks. And I was
Josh.
Like, oh, Josh, yeah. Josh is like, your YouTube sucks. I'm like, oh, thanks. But it's true. And he's like, dude, it could be so much bigger, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, dude, you guys got to look at Russell Brand. Russell Brand to me is entertaining. It's every day he's reacting to stuff, right? And to me, I'm like, I think you can do even better than that. So not even you'll be bigger than Ben Shapiro. But I think you'll just be like, this massive brand. And so how are you changing, I guess, your content workflow moving forward? Because you talked about how you're spending 6 hours a week on it right now, but you want to adjust it.
You know, there's a whole lot to unpack in that specifically, but I kind of got thrown into the world of content creation. Actually, I didn't want to. It was my old business partner that sort of forced me into it. And I've gone through many phases. So it's been, I just celebrated like my fifth year of, I guess, being a content creator. I started my YouTube channel 5 years ago in October. And, you know, you'll hear a lot from content creators or coaches that coach content creators, and they tell you typically to like focus on one platform. So all I focused on was on YouTube. I didn't build TikTok or Twitter or Instagram, none of that. And really in the last 6 months, I've only started to turn to social media. It's been basically 4.5 years of only YouTube. But through that time, my production schedule has changed as well as the content that I've done has changed. And I've gone from 2 videos a week to 3 videos a week to 1 video a week, back up to 2 videos a week, back up to 3. So I've sort of changed that schedule. For the last, since the pandemic, really since like 2020, I went up to 3 videos a week, 2 and then to 3. And I've maintained that schedule. So 2 main teaching videos per week, which are like a thesis. It's like a 25-minute video, not reciting news headlines like a Russell Brand or a Ben Shapiro, but like here's like a thesis twice a week, plus 1 interview a week. So 3 of those a week, each of those videos take 4 or 5 hours to write, right?
And you're doing like you have a whiteboard and everything.
I got the whiteboard all that. Then when I got the iHeart deal, which was, I guess, in 2021, then I picked up an additional 3 hours of content a week. So they pitched me on a radio show and a podcast. So I record the radio and then the radio goes into the podcast. But I record for 3 hours a week. I do that every Thursday and I have someone that helps me with the research and write and whatever. And then I spend a couple hours in advance getting it, then 3 hours going live. So it's a full day.
Yeah.
Or even more, right?
So this is more than 6 hours of work actually for a week.
Oh, yeah. Right. So for the last 2 years, I've been pretty much doing 3 videos on my main YouTube channel, plus 3 hours of radio, podcast, and secondary YouTube channel. So it's about 6 hours of final video at the end of the week, plus, you know, I'm on 1 or 2 shows a week as well. So it's a pretty crazy schedule to keep up on, which has been fun. At one point, I was kind of telling you, I don't know if before we were recording, but iHeart offered me to build out a network. And so I thought, you know what? I'm just going to build a media company.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of like all in on that. But man, I'm a builder. I'm an entrepreneur. I spun up a whole bunch of businesses and over the last couple of years, going back to it's not who you are, it's who you know, I have just opportunities just flying at me left and right. And we launched a couple of ventures and each one were like seven figure, just like picking up money, right? Maintaining this media schedule that I've been running and trying to run businesses just doesn't work.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. And so, you know, as I said, like over the course of a career, but even over the course of 5 years, like what I'm doing, what I'm focused on changes. And I've gotten to the point where it's like, man, I'm a builder. I want to build. I need equity. So I'm going to probably slow the content side down a little bit and focus on that.
Got it. Right now, like what percent of the week do you think you're dedicating towards content and what do you think it will be moving forward?
Well, as of right now, I'm still doing the 3 hours of radio, pod, et cetera. That's a piece that I'm potentially going to renegotiate this month here at the end of the year. We're just entering the end of the year here, right? I typically spend the last month of the year on massive reflection. I do all year, but like, what did I like? What didn't I like? What can I do better? And what do I want for next year? So I'm thinking about changing that podcast thing, potentially cutting an hour or two out of that schedule and just bring it down to like a podcast. And then on my main YouTube channel, I'm thinking about going down to just 1 video a week.
Less is more.
Yeah, quality over quantity. And I think less is more. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that do one video a week, like Cody Sanchez, and her media side of the business crushes it with just one video. And then focus more on the social media side, on the short form side. We've done no effort or focus on the short form side at all.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, but because I was looking at your channel, I was like, yeah, like there's, you know, both you and George Gammon, very, very, very focused. There's like, I'm not going to touch anything else, which is, I think, great. But also I'm looking at everything. I was like, yeah. So the question is, no YouTube shorts, you stayed focused on, I guess, like, what are you going to open up to? Like shorts, TikToks, reels, anything else?
So, I mean, in full disclosure, I mean, we have those being posted, but it's literally like a team in India that just chops clips and sticks them up, right? So there's, we don't look at data, we don't look at analytics, like we haven't done anything there.
Yep.
So I think it's it would be a combination of going and actually creating short form content. We've started experimenting with it just in the last month or two, sitting down, recording short form content. So I think it'll be a short form strategy, which will be including, right, creating content specifically for short form and hiring platform managers that will dig into the data, optimize it, and start tweaking on it.
Got it. So you mentioned, I mean, you came from lead gen, a lot of paid, a lot of SEO, and then now you've kind of evolved into, you know, creating content, right? Like, where do you see marketing going in the next, let's say, 10 years?
Yeah. So, you know, I talk about it's not who you are, it's who you know, and the benefit of having this audience and all these things. We know, I'm sure the audience knows, like probably the greatest asset you can own today is attention. That's what everyone's trying to get, is attention, in addition to other things, but that attention piece. And so we have that. And I know how important that is. I talk about it, you know, but it's very interesting. All of a sudden I'm having to live a life without it. And so, I don't know, did you ever see Undercover Billionaire?
Yeah, I saw the one with Grant Cardone. I watched the whole thing.
The first one was really good. It was just one guy, but the one with Grant Cardone.
The Underdog Barbecue.
Yeah. You know, they were basically dropped off in a town with no money, but they had no contacts. They couldn't use their name. And so here I am. So part of what I'm doing is I've been seeing all these people take big exits near me, and I've had some big exits. And the last 5 years I've been doing this, and I've been making a lot of money, and it's been great. But I'm not building any equity. I can't sell my personal brand.
Yep.
And I have all this deal flow, and I got brought up. I'm part of the venture fund, and I launched another venture fund, Bitcoin Opportunity Fund. So now I'll pick that up. But I launched two different coaching programs. I had like a really high ticket coaching program, and then like a mid-tier coaching program, like 20,000 mid-tier, like 50,000 high-end. And I had like 80 students across that. And that became sort of a nightmare. And we can get into that if you want. But yeah. What I did is I decided, you know what, instead of trying to work with, you know the saying, those who can do and those who can't teach. Yep. I'm like, why am I teaching all these people that never can seem to get it right? I can just go do it. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take two or three of the best companies I see here. I'm going to take equity deals in them, and I'm just going to help them do the work. Well, one of the businesses that we have going right now, I've been there 3 months. They have no content. They have no audience. They have no email list. They have no social media. And so everything I want to do, I have to run paid ads every time I turn around. And not just paid ads, but like, hey, we need to drop 30 grand to test this. So that's been pretty interesting. It's been pretty frustrating as well, and obviously very expensive. So as far as the future goes, I think, you know, you either earn your audience or you buy it. And I think if you really want to scale a business, it's a combination of both. And so one thing I'm helping this new company with is we got to get this audience going. We got to get the email list going. We got to get the social media going. We also have to build the paid ads as well. So I think it's a combination of both. I think that's sort of the future. One prediction I have of the future of marketing, though, is I think we're unfortunately probably facing almost like this cataclysmic event where AI is going to create more spam than we've ever seen in our life.
Oh, for sure.
And the internet could almost become unusable. I mean, it's just going to flood. I mean, all these people go, oh, AI, write me a book. AI, write me a blog article. And it's just going to be crap. And it's just going to be just everywhere. And I don't even know how we're going to weed through that. And I think the future is going to be personal brands.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a personal interaction. And so I think the way that we'll stand out is by bringing personal stories in, where I talk about my personal life, my background, my past, my kids, or whatever it may be. And I think that's going to really separate the mass content, the mass marketing.
Yeah, I think there'll be a period where that happens, and then there's going to be a period where the AIs get so good they could do that too. So who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, we'll have to differentiate ourselves by even being more personal.
So how do you look at it? Is YouTube the mothership and then everything else?
Yeah, I mean, it's been my only focus. And so I have, you know, 150,000 subscribers on Twitter and 150,000 on Instagram, et cetera. But I've literally put no effort into it. That's just what's kind of grown because of YouTube, if you will, and being on other podcasts and the radio, et cetera. So that's all grown, but it hasn't been nurtured or cultivated. But I think YouTube is the mothership for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's the second largest search engine. And so social media content goes away. I mean, sure, you can scroll my Instagram feed and I guess see stuff down there, but for the most part, it kind of goes away. Two, it's highly searchable, right? It's the second largest search engine. You don't have that on any other platforms. Three, you have the long form content, which really builds the brand. So I think from those main areas, I think it's the best in my opinion. And it's what I use. And so, you know, it's what I've done. So I would say that's like the mothership. And I think it's going to continue to be. I think it's going to continue to be as well. But I think if you think about, you know, a marketing campaign, and today more than ever, because of attention deficit disorder, we need more touch points. And so I think there's a, you know, a use case for all of them in different parts. We've even been, just like I said, it's been about 6 months digging into Instagram, and even the different types of content on Instagram at different places, like using reels to bring in a new audience, using posts and carousels to nurture, and then using stories to bring people into offers, and like even utilizing different types of content on the platform.
I love it. I mean, I think there's a macro thing here too, where it's like, there aren't many people where it's like, yeah, you've done lead gen, you've done SEO paid, and you know copywriting too, and you're a creator too, right? So you're combining a lot of these disciplines together, and it's forming like this new like marketing baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now that we're going to start focusing on the shorts and even creating shorts, and then that will then go into paid ads. So now we can be testing it on our organic audience. We can find the ones that pop and then move those into paid ads pretty quickly, which on a traditional old school paid ad, you're paying for the test. Yeah. And so that's a big deal that I just want to just hammer home for everybody listening. Like, yeah, I have to work hard to get the audience, but now the audience is there. And I can just drop content. I can just make money without spending money. And instead of paying to test ads, I can just test them with an organic audience. And even more importantly, I can ask my audience, run a poll. Hey, what do you think about these two headlines? What do you think about this copy? What product would you like to see? What's your biggest obstacle? And so, I mean, the power is just enormous.
That's actually a really important call out. And I would argue you don't even need an audience for like these reels, shorts. And like if it's really damn good, it just takes off, right? And then if you have really good ones, you can test for free now instead of having to pay the platform.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.